We read God's word in Mark 14, reading verses 12 through 26. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare, that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth, and came into the city, and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12, and as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful, and to say unto him one by one, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread, and blessed, and brake it, and gave to them, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. We read God's word this far. We turn also this morning to Lord's Day 28 of the Heidelberg Catechism. How art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper that thou art a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross and of all his benefits? Thus, that Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and to drink of this cup in remembrance of him, adding these promises. First, that his body was offered and broken on the cross for me and his blood shed for me, as certainly as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup communicated to me. And further, that he feeds and nourishes my soul to everlasting life with his crucified body and shed blood, as assuredly as I receive from the hands of the minister and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord as certain signs of the body and blood of Christ. What is it then to eat the crucified body and drink the shed blood of Christ? It is not only to embrace with a believing heart all the sufferings and death of Christ, and therefore to obtain the pardon of sin and life eternal, but also, besides that, to become more and more united to his sacred body by the Holy Ghost, who dwells both in Christ and in us, so that we, though Christ is in heaven and we on earth, are notwithstanding flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, and that we live and are governed forever by one Spirit, as members of the same body are by one soul. Where has Christ promised that he will as certainly feed and nourish believers with his body and blood as they eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup? In the institution of the supper, which is thus expressed. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. This promise is repeated by the Holy Apostle Paul, where he says, The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, because we are all partakers of that one bread. Beloved saints in Jesus Christ, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is rich in symbolism. And because it's rich in symbolism, the Lord's Supper itself is a rich and sumptuous feast. Perhaps you don't think of a feast in terms of one small square of bread and a thimbleful of wine. By feast, we think of much. We think of a lavish spread. But the symbolism of the Lord's Supper points us to a lavish spread, to the abundance of the grace that God has provided for us in Christ, and it assures us that every grace Christ earned for His people on the cross is ours by faith. Outwardly, physically, what we eat at the Lord's Supper may not be much, but it points to a far greater feast than any of us have ever had on earth. In this, the Lord's Supper is distinct from baptism. Baptism, of course, does picture. This is not the distinction. Baptism also pictures the riches of the blessings of Christ that are yours and mine. But the symbolism, the earthly elements and signs of baptism are more limited. There is water, and there is the sprinkling of the water. In the Lord's Supper, as the points of the sermon will make clear, there is bread and wine. There's the breaking of the bread and the pouring of the wine, the eating of the bread and the drinking of the wine, and doing all this with one loaf and out of one cup gathered together about one table. Rich symbolism. Lord's Day 28 of the Catechism begins to point us to the symbolism of the Lord's Supper. In fact, of the three Lord's Days devoted to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, this one covers the sign and the seal, the essential meaning of the Lord's Supper itself. Lord's Day 29 will proceed to explain how the Lord's Supper is a sign and seal. That is, how it can be a means of grace and a sacrament, and it will distinguish the Reformed answer to that question from the answer of Rome and Lutheranism. And then Lord's Day 30, also opposing errors, will remind us to guard ourselves and examine ourselves when we partake of that table. It is a holy supper. As we begin to examine the Reformed view of the Lord's Supper, we open up the Word of God in Mark 14, in which the Lord's Supper was instituted, a record of Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper in the presence of His disciples. It is noteworthy that the occasion for the institution of the Lord's Supper was the observance of the annual Passover feast. The Passover feast, which pointed back to the deliverance from Egypt that God had given Israel, but then pointed ahead to the shedding of the blood of the great Lamb, that of which the Passover and even the deliverance from Egypt was a picture, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And as our Lord and Savior knew on that night that He would be betrayed that night, that the next day He would hang on the cross and fulfill all that the Passover pointed to, He understood, though the disciples themselves didn't, that the Passover in its form, in its outward ceremony, could no longer be observed. This would be the last Passover. The fulfillment has come. And yet our Lord also understood the need to institute for the Church of Jesus Christ a different picture, one without the shedding of blood, but one which pointed to the same truths and could serve for you and for me as a sign and a seal of what our Lord did. Therefore, He instituted the Lord's Supper. Lord's Day 28, question and answer 77, reminds us why it's so important that we find in the Scriptures a record of the institution of the Lord's Supper, to remind the Church of Jesus Christ that this is no man-made invention. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are not doing so merely because the elders have provided it for us. We are not doing so merely because the Church of Jesus Christ throughout the New Testament has done this, and so we're showing ourselves to be one with the Church, but we are doing so because our Lord has provided a table, has set the ingredients, the feast, on that table, and He bids us come, bids not in the sense of an invitation to be received or rejected, but a command to be heeded. He bids us come to eat of His feast. What does that feast picture? What does the eating of that feast do by the Spirit's work in you and me in pointing us to Christ? That's the question to be answered, and we answer it by calling our attention to this under the theme, the sign and symbolism of the Lord's Supper. Notice first, the breaking of bread and the pouring of wine. Second, the eating of bread and the drinking of wine. And third, one loaf, one cup, and one table. The basic elements of the Lord's Supper are bread and wine, which means that the Lord's Supper is food. It is a meal. Just like the Passover feast, the Lord's Supper is a meal because its central symbolism and significance is that of nourishment. Whenever we are hungry, we innately understand the need to eat. And so the child of God, growing weak in faith, says, I need a food for my soul. He finds that food in the gospel as signified in the Lord's Supper. But the elements of the Lord's Supper are not just any food. They are only two foods. One is bread. As they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it. Bread because, first of all, it is the staple of life, and because, in the second place, it inherently nourishes. It is not always tasty. It is not especially as tasty, we might think, as some of the sweets available to us today, but bread nourishes the body. And so the bread of the Lord's Supper points to the body of Jesus Christ, the only nourishment for our souls. Also, our Lord used wine, and He took the cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them. In the passage that we read, it is not expressly stated that in that cup was wine, but this was in harmony with the Passover feast and what the Jews were to eat and drink at the Passover feast. Why does our Lord use wine as a picture of His blood? The answer is not just that wine is red and His blood is red. That would be too simplistic a connection, but rather that wine, which is often partaken of at a feast, at a joyful occasion, and wine because it has in it alcohol, a little of which rejoices the heart, is a fitting picture of the blood of Jesus Christ, which, having been shed for us on the cross, gives